Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. Jim Masters here, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and a pleasure to have you with us, listening from all around the world. Our very special guest coming up for the next 30 minutes on this episode of the Close Up Radio series is Valerie Hope of Connect to Joy, LLC. Valerie is an accomplished leadership coach, podcaster, and founder of Connect to Joy, LLC. She supports global executives and mid-level managers to maximize performance and leverage their growth mindset to create positive change. Valerie emphasizes the three C's for leadership success. First, leaders must be conscious, meaning they must acknowledge their own beliefs, be mindful of their reactions, and have a clear and compelling vision. They know what they're committed to and how that impacts the way they lead their team. The second is leaders must be connected. Leaders must not only connect to themselves, but also to others. When we connect to ourselves, Valerie says, we readily identify strengths and talents. We can leverage unique perspectives and facilitate extraordinary teams. And when they connect with other people, they foster open communication and build sustainable relationships. The third is leaders must be creative. This opens up opportunities for new ways to solve problems, address complexities, and achieve goals in innovative ways. This maximizes their potential as well as their team's potential. A powerful keynote speaker, Valerie, again, is also the host of her podcast, Not Quite Strangers, where she invites individuals who don't know one another, come from different backgrounds and cultures, into a conversation which proves that even strangers can establish a meaningful connection. Her role is to guide and support people to become better leaders. Let's welcome, live and direct from Dallas, Texas, right here on Close Up Radio, our special guest, Valerie Hope. Valerie, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, it's great to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. To learn about the guests and sort of humanize them and let our audience realize the passions and the tenacity that our guests have and love for what they do. What are some of the things on your own journey, your life's journey, that pointed you in the direction of wanting to do this kind of work that you do and love so much?
Well, I think the earliest memory I have is high school. I was in marching band, and my band director, Mr. Bullitt, I love him and give him credit all the time, because there was a point in time where I had just joined the band and didn't really know anybody, but I was really committed and I enjoyed it. I was in the color guard, right, with all the flags and equipment, that sort of thing. And after my first semester in the band, Mr. Bullish asked if I was interested the next year, which would have been my senior year, to try out for captain. And I was like, captain? I don't know why. I'm like, I'm sure Brandy Jerkins wants that role. She's been angling for it all 4 years. I'm not sure a newcomer is going to be the best fit. But he encouraged me to try out anyways, which I did. And sure enough, once all the tryouts were done, he called me and Brandy into his office and congratulated both of us. And we were both shocked. I wasn't expecting it, and Brandy sure wasn't. And he looked at her and said, hey, you know, Brandy, you're great with choreography and movement, and you have a talent and gift for that. And then he looked at me and he said, Valerie, you are a coach. You're a teacher. I see how you stay after and you support some of your friends and colleagues with some of the moves and practice with them. And I don't think I'd ever realized that. It was just an instinct that I had to help that drove me. But when he named it for me, it really shifted my whole life, really, because then in college and in other areas of my life, I noticed that that was something I was always willing to do and got so much joy from. And so it was a no-brainer in making sure that was part of my profession moving forward.
I think he had a sense early on that, you know, it was a really good choice. There was something that probably stood out that he recognized within you that you would be a wonderful leader even early on back in school like that. Sometimes the teachers and coaches sort of can pick the star students out in that way. Well, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. What a gift too for a teacher to call out
to be
something
able to be
so
intuitive in that way, right? And lift you up and say, look, there's something here. There's an it factor. Let's help develop it, which I think is great.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, the it factor that's needed in effective leadership is, of course, critical. From your perspective, Valerie, why is effective leadership critical to an organization's overall success?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, organizations are built with people and for people oftentimes, right? No matter what the organization produces, if it's a service or if it's a product, people are always at the heart and inherently create social systems. And for social systems to operate, maximize their operation, their potential, the people within that social system have to have a sense of they have to have some guidance, some purpose, clarity. And so leaders, and when I say leaders, although I work with executives with different titles and different organizations, leader is anyone that is stepping in to do something to either influence the move, the flow, the thought process of the people that they're working with. And so that is so crucial to have individuals who are willing to clarify a message, to share a process, to bring people to the table to have a conversation, to collaborate more effectively, to challenge people to grow and spread their wings, right, to overcome any barriers. That requires people who care about other people, not just about processes and tasks.
That's really important for people to realize, too. What is inclusive leadership? We're hearing that phrase quite often, but people might not know exactly what it is and what it really means and the importance of it.
Well, inclusive leadership is really, and we use it in a lot of different connotations, especially when you're in an organization who's wanting to maximize the level of diversity of their teams, of their employees or staff. But I think inclusion is all about making sure that everybody that is available is heard, that they have an opportunity to offer their gifts, their talents, their insights, right? And leaders have to go out of their way to do that sometimes. We all have different personalities. We all have different backgrounds. We all have a different childhood. So some of us might be more outspoken than others. Others perhaps are more accustomed to working with people within a certain cultural context than others. And so leaders have to break through all of those limitations and expectations to bring and invite people to share, invite people to participate, invite people to look at things from a different angle. And so inclusion is really about creating a space for everyone to share what would be best for the group and the organization and what would challenge them to grow too.
So in that vein, you know, obviously you describe that all leaders benefit from having the three C's. Now, we know in this case it's not cut, clarity, and color.
No diamonds here. Nope.
So there are leaders who are diamonds in the rough, and having clarity could be a good thing. What are the three C's?
Yeah, so you mentioned them a little earlier, but to clarify them, being conscious, I know, and I spent some time yesterday, for example, with a group of leaders here in the Dallas area. And we spend a lot of time talking about our mindset, right? We all hear the term growth mindset and that's a good thing. But oftentimes we don't spend enough inquiring about our own mindset. How do I think? How do I feel? What sensations are coming up for me? What emotions are coming up for me? How is that influencing how I'm thinking or what actions I'm taking, right? We're especially, like I said, if we're so focused on the tasks and producing a certain result, we often miss some of the signals. And so consciousness is a big part of leadership, is being able to understand why and how I think and what may be attributing to that. The other C is connection. Once I've identified how I feel, what I think, what sensations are coming up for me, then enables me to connect with other people, and that could be asking questions. It could be noting what is coming up for someone else, because now I'm tuned in and paying attention to their reactions and engaging them. And ultimately, you know, we don't do anything in a vacuum. Everything happens with the support, help, instruction, guidance of other people. And the last C is all about creativity. Once we've become conscious and connected, now we get to build something special. We get to build something that's meaningful. We get to figure out a way to take all these wonderful thoughts, ideas, skills, talents, abilities, and make something come to life. That's what those three C's mean.
Thanks for defining that. Also, emotional intelligence is a critical component to being a good leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about why.
Why emotional intelligence? Well, I think that's one of the key elements of being human. You know, we have feelings. And, you know, I've always wondered, and this came up with the leadership group I was working with yesterday, is we also in business oftentimes take a lot of pride in separating emotion from task. In fact, I grew up a little bit that way. You know, my dad was in the military for 27 years. My mother's a school teacher. I'm the only girl. I have three brothers. And so the range of expression and emotion was limited in some ways. I mean, heck, I didn't learn that crying was okay until I was much older. And that was a qualified level of expression. And so I think it separated me, or at least prevented me from experiencing some of the levels of compassion and empathy that I know are needed now. Right? And so that's part of emotional intelligence, just in my own journey, realizing that, wow, having a range of emotions that I can express that give color and meaning to some of the words that I use or some of the ideas that I have, first of all, connect me so much more deeply to people I work with, the people in my life, the people I come across. And I think it allows us to host the emotions of other people when we've embraced our own. That's emotional intelligence and the impact.
That's fantastic. And to really have the understanding of the plight of others and expressing empathy and a lot of that, good leaders, effective leaders, are realizing that empathy and compassion are essential components, right? It used to be where the boss was, you know, up in the ivory tower, sort of looking down through the lens at the rest of the groups and staff. But now they're rolling up their sleeves and participating and hands-on and maybe a little more approachable and listening more and being affable and compassionate and also empathetic are qualities that are great for an effective leader, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, especially the leaders who are wanting to evolve themselves. I think that model that you described in the ivory tower, we've also kind of been fed that programming, right, through some of the images that we've seen through media, right, and television shows and programs. Not to say that those aren't true, but there's also been so many other really compassionate, kind leaders that don't get the airtime. And like I said earlier, I think a big challenge for all of us in our humanity is expanding our level of self-expression. Extending our level of self-expression might mean really sharing with people, hey, this is what I'm dealing with today. I know leaders who are going through really difficult times, and not only related to the pandemic. The pandemic amplified a lot of things that were already there, but I know that many of them now see that there's a distinct benefit to having your team, your colleagues, understand you from your perspective in your personal life as well as your professional perspective, that when you blur those lines in ways that are enhancing, not demeaning or diminishing, can be incredibly powerful for the level of effectiveness and productivity that one can bring to the work. And I'm no longer having to spend all my energy trying to keep my personal life out of my work and vice versa. It allows a whole different level of connection with people. So I think leaders who are getting that and experiencing and even experimenting, I just tell my leaders I work with, look, just play around with it. There's no hard and fast rules, right? Be kind to yourself. Have some grace. But try something new. Ask some more questions. If you're not used to smiling when you walk down the hallway, at least just check your face and ensure that you're giving off a positive, approachable vibe. And I think those are the ways in which leaders can begin to create those connections, right? That having that affable leader experience.
So very important, exactly, on so many levels. Tell us about not quite strangers.
Yes. So that is the name of my podcast. The backstory is a few years ago, I was in a breakout room on Zoom of this social justice event where we were asked to talk about our community. And I shared with the people in the group that my community was very diverse. I'm an immigrant. I come from the Republic of Panama, and I came at age 9. And most of my life, I've been surrounded with people from all different backgrounds and cultures, and I've traveled tons. So as I was explaining that, my circle of people, very diverse, a couple of the individuals in the group, in the Zoom, said, oh, my goodness, I wish my kids could grow up in that kind of environment. And my question was, well, yeah, you live in a metropolitan area. That should be pretty easy to do. But they showed some concern about having it be performative or, you know, feeling that, you know, encroaching upon someone's culture out of curiosity was a little voyeuristic or whatever. They had all sorts of uncertainties about it. And it was a very short interaction, but it left me thinking that perhaps there's something that I could show to let people see how natural it can be, how organic it can be. And that's how the podcast was born, that I thought maybe it's a show and tell, where I bring together people I don't know or people that don't know each other at least and have a meaningful conversation just to show how easy and how meaningful it could be to connect with a stranger. And I've had people who know each other somewhat. For example, one of my younger brothers and a cousin who both loved movies but had no idea that that's something that they shared. So they had a conversation about that. I've had individuals who are complete strangers, one from Dallas, Texas, who's a African-American male, and a woman from South Africa who's also black, who shared their experience in being black in their particular context. So that was fascinating. I've had people, the most recent episode, for example, was a pair who were both experienced, they're both transgender, and one male, one female, and they shared their experience in becoming who they truly felt they are. So it's been fascinating to talk to these people. I learn as much, if not more. And I just, you know, I would just hope for others as they listen, not only to learn from the guests, but also to look in their own lives at what other strangers have they been just walking by? And if they were just to stop and ask a few questions, they could have a completely different experience of life, of relationship, maybe even transform themselves.
That's so important. That's so invaluable. What topics do you enjoy also speaking about in your keynotes?
There's so many. Most of them have to do with those three C's, really, being conscious or bringing a sense of mindfulness and intention to communication, to relationships. A lot of them are centered around connecting, because I find that many of my clients are hoping to have better relationships with their teams, with their supervisors, with their customers. So we talk a lot about how to bring that to life in ways that honor the organizational values as well as the customers they serve and their stakeholders. And then being creative, being able to innovate and thinking about how to bring people to the table. You know, we mentioned inclusive leadership. It's sometimes challenging them to think about who has not been a part of this, of bringing this idea to light, and who might you include, and how might that help? I've talked also about diversity, equity, and inclusion from the sense of bringing joy to that conversation, where that often could pose, there's a lot of heaviness sometimes when it comes to those topics. And that's really why my company is called Connect to Joy. And it's a discipline, Jim. I can't tell you it's easy, but it's a discipline to try to figure out, how do I bring joy to this? And it's a practice I have for myself. Either I try to shift it for myself internally, shift the circumstances if I have some influence in changing things up, and or decide, you know what, maybe this is not for me, and I bring somebody, I introduce somebody else to, hey, why don't you try this out? I think it might bring you even more joy. And so all of those elements run through the conversations or the keynotes and the speeches that I give.
Coaching is also important to any business and organization, right? Tell us about why you believe it really is.
Yeah. Well, you know, ironically, when I first began as technically as a coach, right, Mr. Bullish saw that instinct in me when I was 16 years old, but the formal training that I received was when I was working in a corporation in Hyatt Hotels, and I remember we spent a lot of time working and facilitating workshops with large groups. My boss had at the time, who Tim Schaefer, had asked us to start coaching, spending more time one-on-one with some of our leaders who were having some challenges in executing the things that we were sharing in our workshop. And I was resistant because I thought, no, it takes too long. I don't get the same energy working with people one-on-one as I do from a workshop. It's going to be so much more fun when there's groups of people. But he challenged me, and he eventually showed me the benefit of having a one-on-one conversation with someone with whom I had already received the formal education, right? And only 10% of learning is formal, right? And so the idea then that there's so much, 80% of it is still yet to be discovered, or 90% of it is yet to be discovered through more conversations with someone to mentor them along, made a huge impact. So I started to then find out from individuals, okay, you got this in the workshop, so what are your circumstances and how might you apply those circumstances? What are some of the things that are limiting or challenging you from implementing it? And the conversations just took on a whole different tenor from there. And so the importance of coaching is if anyone, including you, Jim, you're finding that you're not getting the results that you want and need, or things are not coming by as quickly or as easily as you hoped, and in our brains, sometimes we can't see the things that other people see, right? We have these blind spots that we haven't connected to. Having a coach to ask us questions, to help us look around and see what limitations we might be bumping up against, or perhaps a way to reframe the goals that we have, could be incredibly powerful. And recently, I've started to get some training and certification around working with the subconscious, because sometimes our conscious goals that we have, as clear as they might be, you know, we say, hey, I'm going to write, for example, I'm writing a book right now about joy, in fact. And so it could be that I'm going to write 1,000 words every week, every day. That could be a goal, which happens to be one of my goals. And we don't do it. We procrastinate. We find other things to do. We don't write at all, or we only write 400 words, or whatever the case may be. And although consciously we know that that's the goal, sometimes we don't understand why we're not taking the actions that are aligned with that goal. And I've been learning a lot of it has to do with the subconscious that we have, that we don't see, that blind spot. And so I'm learning ways to support my clients by exploring the subconscious, and I have some techniques that I'm now using, and seeing if the subconscious is in alignment with the goal. And if it's not, then there's some techniques to help them get aligned. And that gives people much more the inspiration and the activation they need, and a more whole brain approach where you're able to balance both the left and right hemispheres in the conscious and subconscious brain to put all those resources on the goal. It's been fascinating. I've learned tons, and I am writing a lot more too.
That's incredible. That is so important on so many levels, and you sound so enthusiastic and so passionate about it all, which I think is incredibly important. It really, really is. You encourage all leaders to model inclusive behavior, which we talked about earlier, because behavior fosters deeper, more authentic connections and collaboration, right? It makes room for diverse perspectives. It honors everyone that has a voice. And as social creatures, all humans wish to be included and heard. Sometimes we hear people saying, even lately, everybody's talking and yelling and dividing and just, I don't want to hear your point, just listen to mine. And that's not a good way to go, because as social creatures, all humans should be and want to be included and heard. And you strongly believe that as that happens, it creates this workplace where everyone then can be authentic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, kind of going back to the idea of being conscious, if we're not sure why we're reacting the way we're reacting, it's going to be very difficult to get to the source, to the root. We're then just dealing with symptoms. So somebody could be triggered or irritated or frustrated or disappointed by something that happened or did not happen in the workplace. And so my job as a coach is speaking to them about, okay, so what happened? Why was that so bothersome, or why was that disappointing? I like to use a lot of different resources, and a resource I found really helpful is the SCARF model that comes from the Neuro Leadership Institute. And the SCARF model is essentially thinking about how our brains are wired to avoid threats, and they're also wired to seek reward. And in the SCARF model, which is an acronym, we look at areas like status, like the pecking order, where we belong in the pecking order, certainty, the C stands for certainty, which is our ability to predict what's going to happen and our knowledge of what's happening. The A stands for autonomy, is how much say we have and agency we have and how things go. Relatedness is how safe and how connected we feel to the people around us. And F stands for fairness, which is all about consistency and transparency. And so when people start and we react in ways that don't, and even when you were talking about people not listening to each other or wanting to get their point across, if they were just to pause for a moment and look, which of those five elements in the SCARF model seems to be more alive for them? It could be that they feel the relatedness is out, meaning I don't feel really connected. I don't feel like you get me or understand me. And my sense of survival unconsciously is tied to being heard. And so by all means, I'm going to say as much as I can and yell or scream or do whatever, fight, flight, or freeze to get my point across, because it's linked to my survival. And so not that any of this quote-unquote makes sense. We're all wired so differently. We all have, like I said, a different childhood. So part of it is when we start to uncover some of these connections that we've made to different examples and behaviors, we can release them. They don't have to run us. And then we can have much more productive, more effective conversations or relationships and get the results that we ultimately want. That's why consciousness is such a big part of it, including, I mean, even our Facebook feed, and this is not limited to the workplace, right? We can see like, oh, why am I reacting so strongly to that? Or what might be important to this person that they're being so adamant about this? And if we could just take one step down and go, what's at the source? It could give us a whole different level of understanding, perhaps even compassion for them. Doesn't mean that we have to answer the phone call. Doesn't mean that we have to reply to the comment. But perhaps it gives us an opportunity not to get so wrapped up and triggered by it.
That's so important. That is so extraordinarily important. Lots of great content and information shared on this episode of Close Up Radio. Our very special guest joining me today, Valerie Hope, accomplished leadership coach, podcaster, founder of Connect to Joy, LLC. She supports global executives and mid-level managers to maximize performance and leverage their growth mindset to create positive change. Her website is ValerieHope.com. Valerie is spelled V-A-L-E-R-I-E, and Hope is H-O-P-E.com. Valerie, thank you very much for joining us on the show. Truly a pleasure. Thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you did as well. I hope we get a chance to chat some more down the line. That would also be a pleasure.
It's been lovely, Jim. Thank you so much for your conversation and invitation.
You are very, very welcome, and we hope to explore some more down the line. Our very special guest, Valerie Hope. Go to ValerieHope.com to learn more. This is Jim Masters, your host on Close Up Radio. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for your time this time. Till next time, inviting you to stay right there. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another extraordinary guest from around the world, celebrated right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.